Welcome back, everyone. Betska, the Guru Coach, with co-host Raj. And we are here today with Pastor Bob on Mindful Leadership Beyond Borders. And we are discussing probably the most important topic that we've ever done. And that is the power of religious faith in our lives. And in the first part, we were discussing the importance of daily prayer. And now I want to ask Pastor Bob about, how do you maintain a strong faith in times of societal pressure and secularism and war and gun running and violence and, oh my God. So how do you maintain a strong faith? What do?
Maintain constant communication with God. Okay. I mean, you know, through the scriptures, through prayer, meditation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you are rooted and grounded in your faith. You know, we talked about the plant behind you a little while ago. That plant has roots. And when you first planted it, those roots weren't as big as what they are right now. They're probably
right.
Filling that entire container, right? And I'm not a horticulturist or anything like that, but I remember reading that if you see this big oak tree, and it's, you know, massive, it might be, you know, 40, 50 feet across. I mean, it's, you know, hundreds of years old. The root system is just as big as the top system. So, you know, that's, you know, those roots go deep and they go wide. And when you see a tree, you know, when you first plant a new tree in your yard, it comes in a bucket, you know, yay big or whatever. And when you pull it out, that ball is the root ball. And it's about the same size as the width of the tree. That's where you dig the hole that deep.
That's right.
When it grows 10, 15, 20 years and it's, you know, spread out 20, 30 feet, those roots go out 20, 30 feet because that allows it the stability to maintain itself in the winds and all that. So when you have that deep spiritual root connection, whatever society throws at you, they say, well, we don't believe the way you do. You have the right to be wrong. I don't care. You know, that's the way I look at it. Well, but, you know, if when they try and impose their lack of morals, lack of humanity, lack of anything in my direction, I just refuse to participate. You know, when they say, well, you're going to do it or else, well, I choose or else. Now what you gonna do? You know, so I mean that's just the way it is. And you know, when you have that deep commitment to your faith, you know, you can be like that mighty oak in a huge windstorm. You may bend with it a little bit, you know, COVID. Yeah, I had to put on a mask and all that other stuff, you know.
Yes, yes.
But I did not subscribe to, oh, this is so terrible, what are we gonna do? Type thing. Nobody in my family got COVID. Well, I take that back. One of my grandsons got it and then brought it back to my daughter's family. But it was just minor, you know, because, you know, we were rooted and grounded in prayer, you know, but we didn't lose anyone. Any of our friends, nobody lost their lives or anything like that. I'm not downplaying those that did, but what I'm saying is, we believed we had spiritual protection from it.
Right.
That's the point I'm trying to make. Okay.
And
we didn't fear it. We didn't fear going out in public. We didn't fear
Good
any
point.
Of that. You know, fear is the root of all evil, basically. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of dying. The moment I die, I know where I'm going to be. You know, I am not afraid of dying at all. You know, why would I say maybe? Every time you get in the car, maybe you're going to get in an accident. You know? So don't drive anymore. Take the bus. But what if the bus gets in an accident? You know? So, I mean, what are you going to be scared of? You know, you can't let fear rule your life. And
right
the
on.
Same thing with society pressure. What's causing these societal pressures? Most of it is fear of something. You know, and when you eliminate fear, you take charge of your own life.
I want to get back to the story of the tree with the big roots, right? That the root system is often bigger than the top of the tree for a reason. Yeah. And we have, during the drought last year, along the side of the road, we had these sweet peas, these wild flowers growing all summer, and they didn't get an ounce of water. No water. And these flowers were magnificent. So last week or the week before, I got the idea that because they're growing on the side of the road, they're wild, I was going to go and pick the roots and plant them in my garden. Well, Pastor Bob, I tell you, I took two tools, and I didn't take enough tools. The root system to these, just one stem of wildflower, I swear, was a mile long underneath that ground.
Yeah.
I couldn't pull them out without them dying. I managed to pull out a few, and I don't know if they're going to survive or not, but that's, your story kind of reminded me about this story of me trying to collect these wildflowers so that we could have them in our own garden.
Yeah.
In drought, these flowers look gorgeous. No one fed them water. So to me, that's faith.
Yeah. Yeah. They had faith in their own root system.
Yeah. Wow. I just thank you for reminding me.
That's what our faith is. You know, we have faith in our faith. Put it like that.
For sure. Now, you know, one of the questions Raj wants to ask you, and he asked me to ask you, is that you have that sign behind you, Podcasters for Christ, and I introduced that, you know, you started this, and what an amazing mission you have in your life. And so we're just curious about your personal story where your faith in God made a significant impact in your life. And how is Podcasters for Christ part of this? Tell us.
Well,
I'm curious.
Let me take you back to the beginning, I guess I can say. Without going into all the details, I had been injured on the job as a law enforcement officer. I had to undergo multiple surgeries. Oh. And some major surgeries, but most of them were minor, you know, outpatient type things. But they require recovery time. So I might have a procedure done today, be off for a month, 6 weeks to do physical therapy and things like that. Then a month on light duty and go back to work. And 2 months later, have to do it all over again, stuff like that. Well, after about a year of this, the department started saying, you know, if you don't recover from this, well, I have to retire you. Now, I was 50 years old at the time.
Wow.
And I was like, Lord, you know, I'm getting too old to keep starting careers over. What is it you want me to do? And that had been my prayer for about 2 months. What is it you want me to do? Yeah. And I went to a minister's conference. I had another procedure done. There's a minister's conference I wanted to go to. So I went there on crutches because I just got done with the knee procedure. And I had, you know, the couple weeks off. So I said, okay, I'm going to take this opportunity. I do not recommend traveling by airplane after you have a knee procedure done because it was absolutely horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I can imagine the pain.
And I was, never again. But I got there, and the first day I was sitting about four rows back, dead center, and they're getting ready to wrap up for lunch. Speaker was talking. It was about 11:30 in the morning. And that had been my prayer. What is it you want me to do? And about, like I said, about 10 minutes before they wrapped up, someone leaned forward, it seemed like from the row behind me, and said, you need to start your own online 30-minute radio program.
What?
Now,
my
technical know-how at that time, I had to have people help me check email. Okay. I knew nothing. And I was like, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't even know what that means. You know, and then I got, okay, wait a minute, try to spirits. Okay, try to spirits. Yeah. Lord, I'm sorry, but I need a confirmation because I don't even know what that means. Well, the speaker was wrapping up and they said, so in other words, if God tells you to do something, you got to do it. He can tell you start your own radio program. I was like, oh, no way. right? Oh, I forgot to mention when that voice said that to me, I turned around and looked, there was nobody in the row behind me. Okay. So you know, I forgot to mention that big part. Right.
Wow.
So I was like, try the spirit. And then I said, I need a confirmation. And 10 seconds later, it said, if God tells you to start your own radio program, you got to start your own radio program. I was like, no way. Yeah. Well, that so affected me. They broke for lunch, went next door to the catered lunch. I went to the car and called my wife. I said, you won't believe what just happened. Well,
love it.
Long story short, I came home, was promoted, transferred to a different detachment, more responsibilities, longer drive and all that. Forgot all about it until the next procedure. And then they said, when you come back this time, we're sending you for a workup to see if you can continue working. Lord, what is it you want me to do? And this time the answer was, what did I tell you to do? I forgot. So I went to my prayer journal, started going backwards through the pages, you know, and there it was, November 8, 2008, stars all over it, highlighted so I wouldn't forget it. Start your own online radio program. So, okay, well, I'm recovering from this procedure. I can't walk around, so I'm sitting in front of the computer. So I went to the great savior, Google, and tried to figure out how to do it. And my first radio program was on a flip cell phone with a free website. I didn't have a website for the ministry or anything. I was chaplain for our department, but I didn't have my own personal website. But I started getting a following. It's like, okay, cool. Okay, I can do this. And about 6 months into that, I got approached by Wilkins Communications, a Christian radio, AM radio station conglomerate based in South Carolina. They reached out to me and said, hey, we heard your podcast. One, I didn't know what a podcast was. Two, let alone I even had one, right? And I said, okay. And I said, we think you'd be a good fit for our audience. Would you like to be on nationwide AM radio? And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, of course. Well, catch was, I had to pay for it. Just these little tiny details I'm learning as I go.
Yeah.
But the normal retirement process for our department was 12 to 18 months. I said, okay, you know, I'll do a year, learn, see how it goes. Well, about 6 months into that contract, I got a letter in the mail said, congratulations on your retirement. You're now living on half your income. And I got this big radio budget. So I knew it wasn't going to continue. I finished the contract because I honored a contract, but I wasn't going to continue it. So I started praying, Lord, you had me go through all this for a reason. What do you want me to do? And it was so clear, start your own online Christian radio station and make it so affordable. No pastor can say they can't do it. And he gave me a list of 10 things it was supposed to do. And basically act as a traditional radio station, call-ins, live broadcast, pre-recorded program, all that, but do it online. And I said, okay. He gave me a list of these 10 things. I call it my 10 commandments for radio. And I went to the great savior again, Google, to try and find someone to pattern myself after. Nobody was doing
really
what I was told to do.
Wow.
iHeart Radio had just started and they were just doing music. So my son-in-law worked for Apple at the time. He's our IT director. And he said, well, let's build it. So we did. And October 4th, 2010, we launched what's now Evangelism Radio. And we started with one broadcaster, me. We started with one listener, me. My wife didn't even listen to the radio station. But now, you know, we grew within 14, 15 months. We were rated number one in the world for a Christian online talk radio. We have listeners now in over 160 nations, all 50 states. At one time, we had about 70 broadcasters. We whittled it down about 46 right now. But the podcast that I do, the Kingdom Crossroads podcast, evolved out of that as a way for me to interview the broadcasters. That's how it started. But now I do authors and business leaders and, you know, all across the whole gamut in the Christian faith. And, you know, the podcast started taking off. And, you know, then I decided, well, I need to do, you know, a network of believers that want to do podcasts and things like that. So we got Faithcasters over this shoulder that started. And, about 4 years ago, I guess, the Lord was, I was in prayer because, you know, limited funds. I'm just limited on funds because we believe in offerings and things like that. And I was trying to manage the promotional budget for my ministry, Freedom Through Faith Ministries, the podcast, Kingdom Crossroads podcast, the networking platform, you know, Faithcasters, and the radio station. So a little bit over here for promotion, a little bit over here for promotion. And one day in prayer, I heard Laura say, "How many businesses are you running for me?" That's 1, 2, 3, 4. He goes, "Why don't you do one, put them all under one umbrella, and then you promote this platform. And when people come in, they see what it is. They can pick where they want to go from there." You're pretty smart. That's pretty good. So that's where Podcasters for Christ came from. It's our hub, I guess you could say, our ministry hub. You go there, you see the radio station, the Kingdom Crossroads podcast, the Faithcasters. You know, so it's all right there, including podcast training. I've been asked to help people podcast training. So we also have some podcast training stuff there as well. But that's the story behind Podcasters for Christ. You know, Laura said, "How many businesses are you promoting for me?" And I'm dividing the budget up in fours. And he said, "Just put it all underneath one, promote that one, and people can pick where they want to go." So that's what we do.
Well, folks, I'm sure you really enjoyed Pastor Bob's story. And there are a lot of messages in that story. First of all, ask God for direction.
Exactly.
Yes. Number two, listen to the direction.
That's
God
the hard part
to
sometimes.
That's the hard part. Yeah. And ask for
someone
ask for confirmation.
Someone once said, you know, he's praying and hadn't heard anything from God. And he stopped for a minute and then he realized, here is someone who knows almost nothing doing all the talking to someone who knows everything, instead of listening. And that's the listening aspect is vitally important.
Absolutely. Well, folks, I'm sure you're really enjoying our interview with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. We're going to be right back for part 3. So stay tuned. Yeah.